This recording will be for the regular meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education held on May 7th, 2008 at Cleveland Elementary School starting at 7 p.m.
We will go ahead and stand and have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And he's just trying to get away.
Oh, it is. We are going to start with some well-deserved recognitions tonight. The first one that we would like to present is to Lorraine Sampson. We're happy to have her. Lorraine is a resource teacher at Cottonwood Elementary School, and she is always going the extra mile to teach children with learning disabilities. She is patient. Anybody that teaches writers ed has to be patient. And understanding with each child and takes a personal interest in each of her students. You can tell this by the long hours she spends preparing to teach them. She comes to school early and leaves late every day. Lorraine attends workshops for all grade levels so that she is knowledgeable for all the curriculum. She also conducts a summer school each summer for any child who wants to come. Lorraine is the faculty representative for the PTA. She leads the school action team, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade student leaders. She takes them to leadership training at BYU each year. Lorraine has both an elementary and a secondary teaching license. And besides teaching elementary resource, she has an endorsement in physical education and driver's education. She assists with the high school driver's education program. And I see her in the mornings early with those kids, and she has the calmest look on her face. I'm always so amazed at that, just like it's the easiest job. Lorraine has a master's degree with a reading emphasis, and she is working on her math endorsement through the district's math endorsement program. Lorraine is active in the American Legion Auxiliary, serving as district first vice president. She's been that for a lot of years. She's active in the community and church service. She never complains and is always upbeat and happy. She is a great asset to the school district. Would you please come up, Lorraine, and we will give you this.
We need to get a picture, Lorraine, so we got some over here. Stand between the chair and mine.
If you don't smile, it's not my fault.
Did you get it?
Congratulations. The next person we'd like to spotlight tonight is Nanette Harrison. The School District Administration Board of Education would like to recognize Nanette Harrison for her dedicated and outstanding service as a preschool educational assistant serving the students in Emory County School District. Nanette's nomination states, Nanette Harrison truly cares about kids. She is a great asset to the preschool program. She has brought many great suggestions to the program and always implements each child's objectives into her lessons or free play, or even while having a conversation with the students. Nanette has been a leader in the program and has helped make the program what it is today. The children all love her, they do, and she loves them. She does all that she can to give each child a positive experience and to meet or further their goals while in the preschool so that they can be ready for kindergarten. With each year, she only gets better and better, never wears out. She is a great asset to the Emory School District and a great asset to get them ready for kindergarten. We really do appreciate that, Nanette. Come on up, and we want to give you this recognition.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations, and we're happy for you.
And this is my privilege to do the next one. I am really, really grateful to be able to. Dale McDonald. The School District Administration Board of Education would like to recognize Dale McDonald for her dedicated and outstanding service as an elementary school secretary, serving the students at Huntington Elementary in the Emory County School District. Dale's nomination lists the following. Dale is the glue that holds together 350-plus students, 16 classroom teachers, 5 special programs teachers, 12 educational assistants, 3 custodians, 3 cooks, 5 bus drivers, and 1 administrator. And I might add, a lot of volunteers. She communicates with, informs, conveys, and relays to all students, parents, staff, and the district office. She takes care of school reports, attendance, payroll, inventory, substitutes, staff leaves, and financial records. Where Dale really shines, she is a rescuer of lost children, a smoother of emotional upheavals, a party planner and organizer, a great listener, a soother of ruffled feathers, a behavior management specialist, an interior decorator, and a nurse for the injured. Dale is not only the heart, but also the soul of Huntington Elementary School. She pleasantly provides humanity in everything that is done at school. Thanks for all you do. And my own personal testimonial. I can't tell you how many times I have bothered Dale with personal things, in addition to trying to communicate with the teachers with whom I volunteer, and she has never made me feel unwelcome or like I was bothersome. And all the time, she's always made me feel very welcome and very appreciated. Thanks. She is amazing. Oh, that's a good idea. You're very much appreciated. Thank you.
We're happy for you. Again.
Thank you. Thank you, and you're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but we won't be offended if you need to leave. So, thank you again. We do have some action items, the consent, the agenda, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports from March and April. Are there any questions? Or?
I would like to make the motion that we approve those as corrected.
Let me make one comment. I did hand out a corrected version of the minutes.
Okay.
Replacing Rue's name with Roy's under action item number 3 as being part of the classified negotiations team. I had put Rue's name in there. It should be wrong.
Roy. Okay.
You put it in there on purpose.
Yeah, you want to see. Boy, that woke you up, I guess.
So, it was that correction.
Okay. Thank
you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, let's go. Brandon Larson's here to represent the band. We'll let him present his.
Okay. First of all, I just want to kind of introduce myself. My name is Brandon Larson. I grew up in Capeldale. I went on this trip that I'm about to propose last year. I'm a music education major right now at SUU. And so I'm back helping Mr. Carroll teach marching band for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And this trip I went on last year. We go and we march in the Days of 47 parade. We're on the news. That was pretty neat. My parents taped that and kept that. We were actually videotaped by somebody who was visiting Utah, and they put us on YouTube, as claiming that we were, Utah's bands were some of the best that they've ever heard, and just couldn't say enough good about us. So what they'll be doing, and I'll go with them because I'm going to be helping, but it's $85 per student, and that doesn't include transportation or food. They'll be leaving July 23rd. They go up and go to Boondocks and then to the hotel. And then the next day, Thursday morning, we'll go and line up for the parade there in Salt Lake and march in the parade. And then after the parade, go to Lagoon. And then after Lagoon, we head home. Let's see. Oh, the Days of 47 Parade committee actually paid the band some money last year for participating as kind of a thank you for marching in that parade.
Now they're planning to take the bus, right?
Yes.
Take it as a transportation as well. This is the same trip that they took last year.
Yes, exactly. The
47.
How many are planning on going approximately?
I haven't been.
Most of the band members?
Yeah, it'll be the whole marching band.
Marching band.
Okay.
The summer marching band.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there isn't transportation cost on top of the $85?
No, it's the school bus.
Okay.
Any questions or concerns about that?
The paper that we received indicated they have adequate chaperones, and that would be my only concern.
Yeah, pretty good about chaperones.
And I don't know what Boondocks is. Could you tell me?
It's like I didn't know either until I went last year. It's like an arcade, and it's got miniature golf and a bunch of things like that.
You don't frequent that place?
No, I haven't been there.
I've been
to Boondocks. A lot closer than Disneyland.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that'd be great. I hope that we approve that.
I would second this.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
And I do wish that you would convey to Mr. Carroll how excellent the concert was a couple of weeks ago. I had so many people come up to me afterwards and say, that is the best concert. We could have sat there all night and listened to the band. It was great.
I'll tell them the news again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the sixth grade bands.
It was wonderful.
For being the first year, they really sounded good.
It was a wonderful evening.
Great work. Thank you for your help.
Yeah.
And also, we have an FFA report with Karen Dalton, and Julie's not coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry for my latest entrance. Softball in a little late in Huntington. So. What we're doing is we wanted to come and present to you some of the outstanding achievements that these boys plus some of the other captain members have done this year, participated in, and some of the outstanding circumstances that they've been a part of, so that I don't continue to receive the trash talk of these excellent kids for the actions of three. So this is... It's been really stressful. Three young ladies chose to make a bad action. That's why we sent apology letters out. We felt like that it was needed for you guys to understand what a good program this is and the opportunities that it provides. And I'm going to leave the rest of it over to the boys.
First one of the officers from the chapter. I'm Kevin Jensen. I'm the chapter president.
I'm Colton Gang, and I'm the chapter vice president.
I'm Zach Walls, and I'm the chapter treasurer.
Two things we'd like to talk to you about is, what tends to happen is you got to get all the bad information. And it's pretty difficult to, give you the good information because, a lot of things are heard is bad and that sort of thing. One of the major keys in FFA is to learn life skills through the CDEs, which are career development events. We call them state judging. This ranges from anywhere from ag mechanics to livestock judging to floriculture to all these other different types in agriculture. They're very vital because it really teaches you what you're interested in. When you don't exactly know what you're interested in, this is a really good way to go in and look at
out what's available to you to see if you're really interested in that subject. This year we participated in range judging, and as a team we took third overall in the state, which is pretty exciting. And livestock judging, we participated in ag mechanics. We received a gold rating. And through the FFA, it's just really vital for every opportunity you get to reach out to students, teach them how important agriculture is in their lives. Because right now it's less than 2% of the population is involved in agriculture on a, you know, traditional basis. And when everybody's making policies that regulate the agriculture in one way or another, it's really vital to take every one of those opportunities. And even state conventions. This year we went as a chapter, and I competed in state officer. Currently I'm the state sentinel. And that was such an amazing experience and opportunity to be able to even go there. Even if you didn't become an officer, it was just really amazing to go with 17 people, learn everything about them in 3 days, and communicate, and really get to know that there's people interested in what you're interested in. And in our school, that's one thing that the FFA really showed me, is it's really given me a place to go. I'm not really into sports. I'm not into, you know, business. I'm an agriculture person. And that has really given me the opportunity to go out and learn of who really I am, and given me the skills to look into the future and decide what I want to do. That's just beautiful.
For me, the FFA has given me direction. I kind of knew I was already agriculturally based, but it's opened up more opportunities for me in my life. On the state ag mechanics team this year, I placed 10th over in the state, and I competed in that for 3 years and did pretty well the last two through practice, and it was just somewhere I wanted to be, so I was working on that.
That's a very helping too, by going to conventions and socializing with our members that we have. And it's helped me have more best opportunities to do what I want to become when I get out of college.
And also with that is, when I was a sophomore, I looked at my dad's awards he had in FFA on my wall. I didn't look at my wall. And just to look at those, I mean, I was really dreaming of FFA, and I couldn't wait till I got into the FFA. And when I was in the FFA and I sat there in the state convention, and state conventions where a lot of FFA members would come, and they have the state officers do the opening ceremony, and when you're there with several hundred fellow FFA members, because we're a small chapter, and, you know, like we said, just the other day, there's a student going around, and he said, join FFA. And it had Jack Daniels on it in Copenhagen. And that has really ticked me off pretty bad. Because that's not what we're about. We're about agriculture. We're about skills in life. We're about opportunities to students. And when I saw that and the reaction, that's what we're known for. And when you go to the convention and you're sitting there and you know that everybody there is there for agriculture or something with agriculture, really gives you a push to be what you can be. Because like I said, if we didn't have the ag program, I don't know what I would have done in high school. Like I said, I never really fit in. And FFA's really given me an open door to get active and get involved and do more than just sit on the couch and that sort of thing. And like I said, with the convention, it's truly powerful with the opening ceremonies. Each officer going up in front of that and the enthusiasm, and it just really changes the perspective of the FFA. And last year we won ag sales and we went to compete, and I was on that team, and we went to national convention, and that was so amazing to go into a basketball court with thousands of FFA members to sit there, and it was just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just a river of blue coats. You go down the main road and just be blue, and that's really shown me what I want to do for a living. I want to be an ag teacher, because I think it's really important to show our passion to the students and show how agriculture makes a difference in their life. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
You're doing a great job. Don't be sorry. You're doing great.
Laurel?
Yes.
Something else that you came in and they're advising you to recognize for. They went down to Moab a couple weeks ago to the Envirothon and brought home gold medals in two events.
Great.
So, you know, thank you. Outstanding.
Yeah.
I was able to observe them down to their station station too, and they conducted themselves very well amongst all the people there. And Henry High School was recognized by the national FSA advisor who works out of Washington, D.C., and his boss is Troy Gustafson.
Oh,
and he wanted to make a special recognition of the Henry High chapter
for
the FSA and commented on how rural Utah and these rural communities across the nation really provide leaders all across the world.
Wow.
So it was a very good recognition for them.
Thank you for adding that. I thought of that. My husband still has his blue jacket in it, and it is with pride that we hold on to that. So, and I'm just really impressed with how articulate and how confident you are to stand up here. That takes a lot of courage.
Oh my,
that's amazing. Yeah. You get a blue ribbon.
Another amazing thing that
Faith
really taught me, because when I was a sophomore and before I got in our ag program, I was really kept to myself. I mean, I taught to people who I knew, but Trent really pushed me to really go out and be a leader. And that's one thing we really try to do, is try to make leaders for life skills, not just in ag, but for life.
I can certainly recognize the things that you said tonight, because when I was in high school, the FSA meant to me the same thing as it meant to you. I was not in sports, I was not in some of the other things, but FSA really brought me out of it. I became a state farmer. I've still got my FSA jacket. In fact, a couple of years ago, I attended your FSA banquet, and I brought it and made Mrs. Callahan wear it. She wore my FSA jacket to the FSA banquet.
And contrary to what you may think, we do hear a lot of positive.
Yeah,
definitely.
We do.
So great. But yep. Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
This is the second year in a row we have a state officer.
Oh, great. Congratulations to Corinne. He does a good job. He puts a lot of effort into the program, and we appreciate what you have done. And it's hard to toot your own horn. I know it is.
Well, that's the reason we had Julie Onison, as we met down there at the state. The Nationals is actually... We're putting it together right now to form an alumni, and Julie's going to head our alumni.
Oh,
she's on my advisory committee. She's going to step up and take on a further role. She goes, I can't do it overnight, and I can't do all the trips. She goes, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
She goes, but I'll gladly take this part on. So hopefully through the summer, you'll start hearing and start seeing some things that the alumni is building and putting things together of what we're going to do with the alumni.
This is one of the ways you overcome the negative side of things, is the way you present yourself tonight and the way you present yourself to the other students, teachers, administration at the high school. So that's what you need to do, is focus on that. And you've done really well tonight, so thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you for listening to us.
The next item are the land, the trust plan approval.
Yeah, it says land trust, and that's the official name. Even though we say trust land, it's actually land trust.
Okay.
I'm trying to change that.
Land trust.
Yeah, all of the schools have presented their land trust program, their plan, sent copies to you. I tried to summarize a little bit for you what they are. Some of you may have been receiving letters from some of the principals on thanking you and recognizing what the land trust money does, but I'm recommending that the board approve the land trust plan for each of the 10 schools.
I would do so without any qualms at all.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Yes.
That's a lot of work to write those reports and to submit all the paperwork. I thought about that. Somebody has a lot of
this land trust program is really, really labor intensive.
Yes, I could
see that. And they've made it that way intentionally to protect that money from legislative use otherwise. And it does take a lot of work on the part of principals and school community councils. And now the business administrator has a huge part to play. They have to ensure that all of the money is spent in the proper budgets, and they have to report the figures and where all the money's been spent.
For all those schools.
Quite a load.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Also, the block grant plan approval.
Yeah, the quality teacher block grant and the... intervention block grants require board approval each year. These plans were written about 4 or 5 years ago. They have not changed as far as their focus. The budget changes every year based on what is allocated by the, based on our student count. But the quality teacher block grant still funds our teacher enhancement program and some of our staff development, including school staff development money. And the interventions block grant, of course, funds programs for at-risk kids. There's a number of things, a number of programs are ELL, which is English Language Learner programs, those kind of interventions. And so really the plan hasn't changed a great deal. We've updated the budget and made some minor adjustments. But I recommend the board approve those.
I would make a motion that we approve them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the 3-year calendar revision. We're making allowances for the...
Well, when we wrote the 3-year calendar, we did not have dates for UEA convention for the last 2 years of that. The UEA has now given us those dates. We didn't guess very well. We were a week off. But your fall break, we have tried to align that with the dates of the UEA convention. About half of the districts right now have gone simply a fall break. They're going to keep it the same whether it falls on that date or not, but we felt that we need to try to keep aligned as much as possible. I don't think it's that much of an imposition at that time of the year. So we want to adjust the calendar to put in the actual dates for fall break that coincides with UEA convention, and I think that first year, but the following year, it's on October 1st and 2nd, and then the third year of the calendar, I think it's September 30th and October 1st.
Yes, that's what we have on here.
So I recommend the board adjust the calendar to take that into consideration.
Thanks, so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We have some personnel actions.
Yes, we have some letters of resignation and also retirement. I'd like to recommend the board approve. We have letters of retirement. You have copies of all of these except one that we just got today. Letters of retirement from Paulette Kelly, Sandra Jeff, and J.J. Grant. We just got today. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. We also have received letters of resignation from Melissa Eflin. If you need help where these people work, let me know. Donna Carroll, Corrine Merrill, Deborah Johnson, and Jane Williams. You have any questions about any of those? I would recommend the board accept those letters of retirement and letters of resignation.
Do you two really want to break up the act back there? I don't know, JJ. I don't know. I guess we have no choice. Okay.
Given that condition, I'll make that motion.
All right.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Drew, you said you were going to vote against that.
Well, we'd all like to.
Second thought.
Okay.
We
also have some names for approval. Recommending the following new employees: Emily Mills, We're going to assign her to teach at Huntington Elementary next year in the kindergarten program.
Is she a first-year teacher?
No, she's been teaching at the charter school.
Donna Colford's daughter.
Oh, that Emily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jed might have to help you with the genealogy or something. Audrey Gordon, being assigned to teach at Farron Elementary School next year. Janet Childs, teach at Castledale Elementary School next year. And Roseanne Dawes, teach at Huntington Elementary next year. We will be making a transfer. Janet Tuttle will be transferring to Farron. As we interviewed, there's an obvious situation there with the principal of Farron Elementary, whether it be nepotism, and so we're needing to make that change. And also Jennifer Parkins as a speech language pathology educational assistant right now, / technician, because she will be returning to school to work on almost a second bachelor's degree. The state has approved a new position, which is an SLP technician position, where they can serve kids in the speech language program without having the master's degree at this point. And Kim desperately wants the help. So.
You're
I'd recommend the board approves the hiring of those new employees.
We can follow the genealogy on some of these people by just the names, but a couple I can't. Janet Gordon.
Janet Childs?
Okay, maybe that's why I couldn't. I was putting Gordon on there.
Jennifer Overton. Jennifer and Janet, the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's
doing. Jennifer Parkins and Janet are twins.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all right. Did you get a motion?
Marlene Gordon out from Elmo.
I told her she had to leave Elmo and move some other place. We wouldn't hire
No, we haven't yet.
I will make a motion. We approve these.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have policies, actions.
We have, we're working on policy revisions right now pretty heavily because of the new legislation that was passed this past legislative session. We haven't got all of those done yet, but some of them that we do. There was a resolution that came out of the legislature encouraging school districts to create policies on honorary high school diplomas for veterans, which would allow high schools to award those under certain circumstances. And those basically being that the person who did not receive their diploma did so because they had to leave school to serve in the armed forces, either in the World War I, the Korean War, or World War I, II, Korean War, Vietnam. And the resolution actually outlines the requirements to receive that, and so that's included in the policy. But we also, as a school district, already have not a policy, but a program in place for honorary high school diplomas that were standard diplomas, based on people who have been out of school for 50 years or more, who did not receive a high school diploma, but contributed in ways to the community and to life experience that they could apply to receive an honorary high school diploma. We've had that in place for 6 or 8 years. We've never awarded one yet, but we've had it in place. So I combined the two of those into one policy on honorary high school diplomas. It's up to the board whether you want to have it in policy, but I felt that it would be appropriate. We also have revised the school community council policy. This is to meet the requirements of the new laws that were passed this year. There's some additional reporting requirements. There's some changes in the election procedures, or at least the timeline. And so we needed to change the policy to reflect the new law. And the same thing with administering medicine in school to students. Basically, the only change in this policy is that any medicine that's administered to students under that policy, we have to report that to the school nurse, which is public health nurse. And so there's a reporting requirement there and some terminology change, that the substance of the policy didn't change. And then the last one is our staff fringe benefit policy. I'm going to let Jared explain to you the change in that.
We have been looking at this for a little while, but what we're looking to propose is that only employees who work 20 hours or more a week would be eligible for medical and dental benefits. That's already the case with life and long-term disability. And so we wrote this policy to propose that. There are a couple of reasons for this. One of them is that, as I've called around to other districts, you know, I kind of look at benefits and what's offered and not. We're the only district I know of in the state that still offers benefits to all employees regardless. And so that would, you know, put us in line with what's pretty standard with other school districts. It also would be a cost savings going into the future. We thought it was important to allow those employees who are with us now who work less than 20 hours and are on insurance to continue to do so. So there's a grandfather clause in this policy for those employees, but it would affect just future employees who are hired into those positions. They wouldn't be allowed to have those benefits. Like I said, our, you know, life insurance, long-term disability, all those benefits are already at a 20-hour or above limit, and that's based on those contracts. The actual insurance contract will only allow the district to do that. So it would just allow us to have a little bit more consistency in benefits that we offer. So
okay.
I'm proposing that. It does come with the recommendation of the insurance committee. I reviewed it with them, and it received the unanimous recommendation.
Okay.
Now, this really does not change anything or anyone as long as I have less than 20 hours.
It doesn't affect anyone who's currently employed in any way. It's only a new hire.
Okay, only
so
new
if
hire.
You're, if you were working less than 20 hours a week, then you would not be eligible for these benefits.
Yeah.
Right now, you can work 20. You can work that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you're working 20 hours a week, you can buy and you can pay the difference in the premium up to a full-time
mm-hmm.
employee,
mm-hmm.
which means the person basically is working just for health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it doesn't affect any current employees, only new hires.
Except that current employees, unless they're already buying up,
right.
won't have the option to do so from here on out.
Correct.
That's the only difference.
Right. If they're not on it now, they wouldn't be in the
mm-hmm.
future either. So it would be. Or if they were to drop it and then want it back, they would not be able to reason mm-hmm. to sign up again for it. We're recommending that the board approve those policy changes and that one new policy.
I would make that motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a student discipline action.
We need to hold that till after closing.
Okay. Approval of health insurance carrier.
Okay. As you know, we've been meeting with the insurance committee and looking for
some long meetings
out.
Yeah, I didn't find it. I think
that
you have opted out of the negotiation committee.
Too late, Murray. Too late.
Next year. I'll remember that.
Had a lot of
actually, I was thinking of that. Wait a minute. You just finished one set of meetings.
Hey, we have had several meetings as an insurance with the insurance committee. We did expand the committee a little bit this year. We had, I think, 13 or maybe 14 total members because we had such a big decision to make. But the process we went through is, first of all, the USDA pool that we're in right now for health insurance went through a request for proposal process to bid out insurance and see if they wanted to stay with CHC. I had a vote in that group, which is all the other school districts that are involved, and we did vote to continue with CHC in the pool. And it was a pretty obvious choice, and the options were there. So then within our insurance committee, we considered that option. We also had an offer from Educators Mutual, which operates a pool for school districts that's similar to the one we're in now. And then we also received several bids for individual bids for our district from other carriers. and that was through Intermountain Financial Benefits, who we contracted with about a year ago. So we went through the process of kind of narrowing that down, and our top three options were the two pools and also an individual bid from Aetna. And we spent two or three meetings considering all of those fairly carefully, I think. We had some good discussions. I included on your second sheet here is a summary of the benefit options and then also the rate that applied to each of those three finalists that we considered. To summarize, and then I'll let you ask questions if you have them. The insurance committee voted to recommend that the district change to Aetna, an individual carrier, and to leave the pool that we're in. There were 11 of us that voted at the last meeting. Nine voted for Aetna, two for educators as their first option, and then it was just about the opposite, and the pool that we're in now actually ended up third of those three. So what questions could I answer? I guess let me state that the reason that Aetna really stood out is because for very little increase, about 5% overall, the benefit level can go up to essentially what gold used to be, to a kind of a 90-10 co-insurance type of plan. The office visit amount for a lot less. Emergency room and prescription benefits are better. So it's overall a better benefit, clearly, and I think the insurance committee understood that. The other side of that was that we had to consider was the risk of leaving the pool that we're in. It was explained to us by our benefits advisors that there is a higher risk, but it's not as high as you might think leaving a pool. There are actually two levels of pooling. They do consider your claims individually, but they also put you in a rate category with all employers of our size nationwide. So our renewal each year will be based on both of those things. So it is a higher risk option than what we're in now. Also a possibility of a higher reward option, and the committee did vote to go with that and recommend that option. So what questions do you have?
Okay, I had a couple of questions come to me today, mainly married couples that are working.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I understood what they were saying is that, say, if a husband and wife are working, they don't get equal coverage for both of them. They have to pay more.
Well, previously, how it's worked in the pool thus far is when you have a husband and wife working in the district, one is paid either a family or a dual plan rate, and then the other one, the district pays a single rate, and that combined gives them what's called dual coverage within the pool. That's a very unique arrangement that the pool has allowed, and gives them a full dual coverage. With Aetna, they don't have that option. It's not, part of their insurance business. So we would most likely, and we're still working this out with Aetna because we're trying to see if they would negotiate that type of an option with us. But the likelihood is that we would continue to pay a family or dual premium for that couple. And then instead of paying a single premium for the dual coverage, we would pay that same amount into a health reimbursement account, so it would be cash going to them that they can use for medical expenses. It also rolls over from year to year, so if you don't use all of it one year, you would have even more the next year to use. The likelihood that that employees in that situation would have money in that account over the years is really high, because with the benefit level being higher, they're going to have to pay less out of pocket for any expenses that they have. And unless all of their family has a really bad year medically, year after year after year, some of that money is going to roll over. Now, that may not be the case for every single person, granted, but that's how it would work.
I had a question. So you said there's a 5% increase to get you to the gold plans. What's similar? What would be the increase on the other two? Was it similar increase?
It was a 4% increase.
Okay. But it wasn't to the gold.
Same benefit.
Same benefit.
Now. It would still be a silver level.
Okay. So, all right.
And with that, and it's not called gold, but it's that level of benefit, okay, which is what I refer to it. With Educators Mutual, it would be 4.5%. So,
okay,
all three ways, we were looking at essentially the same increase.
Okay. But this is the higher, even with Educators coverage.
Yeah,
okay.
Higher benefit.
Higher benefit is what I'm trying to get at.
The percentages that are listed at the bottom there are a little bit misleading, because they don't take into account, you know, all the different factors. One of the advantages with Aetna also is that we now have employees, a lot of employees, buying up so that they have access to Intermountain
mm-hmm.
Health facilities. With Aetna, those are all in-network.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Utah Valley Regional is a big one that,
mm-hmm.
that we know people want, and it would be in-network for everyone. So nobody is going to have to buy up.
If this didn't work out for us, what's the difficulty in switching back to another pool?
The likelihood is that the USDA pool would not invite us back in.
Okay.
The EMIA pool, you know, I had a conversation with their rep yesterday. They still don't know the outcome. He said to me, if you don't go with us, realize that we're still friends, you know, and the door's still open.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility. Now, you know, like I said, there's a risk because if for whatever reason it doesn't work out, it's probably because our claims are, you know, pretty high. And so that would be taken into consideration if the pool were to look at it in the future.
And what insurance do you have that they're just not drawing us in and then going to jump up next year? Have they given you any
insurance? There's no guarantee. They, you know, there are a couple of things that they mentioned. Granted, sales pitches, but to me, do make sense. They've been in business for 150 years. They said, we don't maintain that type of business by, you know, grabbing you the first year and then, you know, giving it to you after that. They do, you know, some of the things that the committee considers that we will be the first school district in Utah with Aetna, and they're going to want to impress because they are going after other school district business, which does make sense. You know, we also considered the fact that with either of the other pools, you don't know what's going to happen. And honestly, one of our concerns with the pool that we're in right now is that the numbers back in January said we were going to have a 15-20% increase. And then all of a sudden, through that bidding process, it dropped to 4%. And I dug into them as much as I could, and I could find some of that gap, but not all of it. So, you know, we were concerned as a committee that a year or two down the road, it may be ugly for the pool, too. So, you know, there is a risk whichever way you go. We also have, with Intermountain Financial, they negotiate for us every year. Renewal. So we do have a, you know, people who are in the business and can help us, you know, do that. We'll also have access to our claims history quarterly, so our renewal is not going to be a surprise. If we're really high the first quarter, we can go out, you know, to our employees and encourage wellness programs, encourage, you know, management of their health care and things like that. So we'll actually have a little bit more control. So
when is our contract up with PDHP?
Right now. August 30th.
Okay.
The rollover would be September 1st.
Are you prepared to take all this calls you're going to get because people not knowing how to use new insurance?
Yeah.
Hire extra staff.
Unfortunately.
You better get your voice.
Yeah. Back. We are. We're already going with getting things, you know, underway. We would actually have our employees fill out, as many of them as we could, fill out enrollment forms before school ends. processing is done during the summer. Cards are out well before September 1st. We're also going to try as much as we can to get into each school before the end of the year and explain. Intermountain Financial and Aetna would come down and hold a seminar that kind of explains how things are going to work and some of the differences that they might see.
Can we afford going up to the Gold Life plan with 5% increase?
Yes, it's well within the budget, and it would be the same. We're paying within 1.5%, no matter which way we went. A 5% increase is pretty, you hate to say it, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, but it's good.
For medical.
No, one other thing that I believe I got a really strong feeling from the building representatives who were on the committee that they had done quite a bit of talking, extensive visiting with their faculty and staff.
Okay.
So that it won't, at least from the impression that I received from each of them, I think that it has been discussed a lot in the schools, and it was, and they were feeling like they were representing the sentiments of the people in their schools.
I think another thing that helped us a little bit was our local rep is a former graduate of Emory High School.
The Aetna rep.
Who is
that? The Aetna rep.
Crystal Horschkopf?
Okay. Herring. Crystal Herring. Richard Herring,
I did speak with some of the districts our size that are in an individual plan, and they told me, you know, some years you'll have a good year and some years you won't. If you can find a way to balance those out, it's worked out.
Okay. And your feeling is from being on the committee, Mary, is that
my feeling is that it's an obvious, there's an obvious majority of choice from the school rest of Aetna.
Okay.
And this is one of those situations in which I think they are directly affected much more than we are.
Okay.
And it needs to be a bottom-up decision. That's my...
Jared made it very clear to the committee that if it doesn't work out, he's not taking all the heat.
Right. Yes, we did have that discussion.
Well, it does help to have input from everyone. So then they get to see what's actually going on. You're feeling good, Kim?
Well, I can attempt to comment to that. I wonder if there is to have included all this. That's not just yet. I mean, I was okay. You set that up so that everyone had a voice. That's really, in my opinion.
So there were representatives from two of the committee.
I don't know if there was one from each school, but
pretty much
most would have had one, as well as, you know, like school lunch.
So they can at least get the word out that they're
co-working. I think the biggest concern will be around the dual coverage and how that will affect them individually in their own, and it'll be different for each couple. This is the concern that I had that they talked to me about today, and I said, well, I don't know what's going on. So
yeah, I honestly, I've looked at the numbers pretty closely, and I think for the vast majority of the couples that are in that situation, it will be beneficial. It may take them a couple of years to see that, but in the long run, in my mind, it's better to have money in the pocket than have it go to premium and the insurance company gets it and it's just kind of gone. So the way the benefit levels work, it will work out to their favor in the vast majority of the cases. There may be two or three or four that it doesn't. That's, you know, kind of the give and take of that scenario.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready for a motion then?
I take a move that we give the people what they want.
That sounds a good way to put it.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Yeah.
All in favor?
I didn't get a chance to say aye.
Any opposed?
You must have heard it was almost time for you to report
it. In fact, that's a good lead in. Word to you. Yep. While you're standing.
Well, I've already reported to you once this year. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Cleveland Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a pretty good year. I feel like we have the best teachers and staff in the district. And
just finishing up our core test. The raw data shows that our language arts and math were between 89-90% school average. Science was around 80%. So, we feel pretty good about it. Online this year, a few challenges, but for the most part went through. And we're looking forward to next year, and having done it one year, we can, make some changes.
Hold on those numbers again.
About 90% on the language arts and math.
Whatever that
89-90%. Yeah, they're still raw scores. Yeah, they're still raw scores, and that includes all of our resource students and everybody. Wow. Raw scores. So, you know, we're having some smaller classes. One or two people can bring the whole average down. So, I feel pretty good about it. This handout's coming around. This is the end of my fifth year here. It's gone by quickly. Just wanted to show you what the enrollment has been like these past five years. And show you what it's going to be like the next 2 years, for sure. The past 5 years, our trend has been kind of up and down. We've had about a 3% overall growth. But over the next 2 years, we are going to grow about 25%.
Oh, wow.
So we have, we have several factors to that. Availability of properties in Cleveland Elmo. There's a lot of young families out here to build. There's more home building going on in this area than any other part of the county, and we anticipate that it will continue on for some time, especially since the county is now making it they can build on 2 acres instead of 10. Mm-hmm. And so, we feel like we're going to have a lot of growth. We'll have 36 kids in our kindergarten next year, and the year after, we already know 42. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to continue to grow, which is good. And we're looking forward to the addition of new faculty and staff at those times, and we have a good thing going out here. And I think still the only thing wrong with Cleveland Elementary is the principal, I think. So everything else is pretty darn good. But don't know what else you'd like to hear. I already reported once, glad that you're here, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I did report last time we're getting a greenhouse, and we have the greenhouse, we just don't have it installed yet. Our building crew, they've had some health problems and in the community, so we haven't had the support there to get it together. We will have it for school starts next year.
Okay.
We're excited about that happening.
How are they doing with the house, and will we get it done in time?
Got to switch hats here now. Our project house with the construction program is just almost done. They're just finalizing two or three little nitpicking things, and they're done.
And everything went smooth?
Pretty smooth.
Good.
Yeah, they finished pouring the driveway yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they had a couple little things today, and this thing's done.
Good.
I anticipate next year doing a nicer home, a little bigger home. And we may lose our aide for the program, Travis O'Neill, unless we can come up with an alternative way to help subsidize his salary a little bit. Right now, it's being paid for out of the college, and I need to meet with Jared. I think maybe we can entice him today a little bit. He's been there for 2 years, and he knows, he's been through the program too, so mm-hmm. he knows the ins and outs, and mm-hmm. he's been a real asset to the program. I'd hate to lose him. Our other programs are doing well. Unfortunately, we had the one incident with the ag this year, and a lot of people give a lot of bad press, and I was really proud of these kids here tonight. And
did a good job.
I've been watching them close, and they're doing a good job. And I wish our program could grow, but since our enrollment keeps declining, and in order to keep those other programs we have, it's probably going to stay about the same level, at least for a few years. So,
Our machining and welding program is doing great. Having Kevin Gordon in there has really added a quality thing. Our auto program, they just took a team up to the Ford troubleshooting contest.
I wondered if they were there.
They've been doing really good. They're
amazing.
I think overall our programs are great. Our business program, you know, I got to talk to these administrators here and convince them not to use our CTE teachers to teach financial literacy, because we don't get any additional funding for that, and it takes away from a vocational program, and they're not vocational. Right now, that's what we're doing, and they're the best teachers to do it anyway, but the state doesn't give us any additional funding, so, you know, we'd like to see that change somehow in the future, but, you know, I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, so.
Well, thank you. We know that you juggle a lot of responsibilities and wear a lot of hats, but you do them very well, and it shows. We appreciate it. We haven't let down in any of the areas, so thank you for all that you do, and thank your staff here, and appreciate that. Have the superintendent's report.
Just a couple of additional items, information, just to mention so that in the minutes, Mr. Grant is retiring from the school district. He's taking another job. He is going to be the director of the Southeast Education Service Center, which will serve all four school districts in Carbondale, Amazon, and San Juan. So he'll be on the road a lot. I certainly want to congratulate him and wish him well, and we're beginning that process now to look at replacing him. Just, you know, a little bit, I don't know if you have any questions or not, but we are changing the focus of our reading initiative plan. In the past, we have used the funding for that to pay for anywhere from 2 to 2.5 teachers who teach strictly reading during the day. We felt like if we could focus that and do some staff development kinds of things, that we could help improve reading instruction, and at the same time not to have to reduce force. But we've also recognized that there are probably other uses better uses for it. We are going to expand our extended day kindergarten programs to our other two Title I schools, Farron and Huntington. They each have one session of extended day kindergarten in the afternoon for anywhere from 12 to 14 kids. Those who are most at risk or developmentally behind or struggling. Our teachers will be working out schedules to do assessments. We may need to take some time the last few days of school and dismiss kindergarten early. We haven't finalized all that so that we can do assessments on those students for next year to determine which students would be eligible for the extended day program. So we will have Bookcliff and Farron and Huntington Elementaries with the extended day kindergarten program. We are also working right now with Carbon School District. We still haven't worked out all the details, but in concert with Carbon District and the Service Center, we're hoping to be able to hire a reading coach or reading specialist that will work with classroom teachers in a similar to what we're doing with the math program with Jill Pappas. That we'll do that. We can do that with reading. Carbon is really looking for someone to work with their secondary teachers, and we're looking for someone for elementary. We think we can probably do both, but that hasn't been finalized either. So, anyway, just for your information, that's what we're looking at with our reading initiative, is to try to get to those students earlier, before they hit first grade, to develop reading skills, reading writing skills, so that they're more ready to do that. We will continue at Huntington Elementary, however, with, I think, Annette Cook teaching reading all day long.
Darren will also be doing the same thing, but we'll be paying them out of our...
Right. They've decided to do that as a team teaching situation, and felt like that at Huntington Elementary particularly, that was a needed reinforcement with their student population to keep doing that. So.
Question?
Yeah.
So a couple of parents have approached me. The full day kindergarten is not for all the students,
no.
Or is it mandatory? Is that correct?
It's optional.
That's what I've told them. I
It is optional, but it's not for all students. It's for those students who are determined to need the most help.
And if it's determined that they need the most help and they opt out,
then you move down. Okay. You move up the list.
Okay.
Those that still need the most.
Okay.
But it is optional. If they choose not to. The problem we're having right now at Booklist is that this year they have 14 kindergarten kids and they're all in it all day. And next year they'll move now to about 24 to 26 kids. And we're trying to, you know, the teacher and principal are having a difficult time deciding how they're going to handle that. And we're simply saying we handle it like we're going to do the others. The kids will be assessed and those who, 12 or 14 kids who need it the most will be those who will be eligible for the extended day program.
Okay.
10
to 12 of
those
ESL kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be
helpful for me. So that's, you know, that's going to be some tough decisions, but that's what we have to do. It doesn't make sense to have a huge extended day program when you're trying to focus on individual needs, individual help, and on math and literacy. Because the focus will be, it will have to be taught differently than a regular kindergarten program. Tomorrow we have those teachers who are going to be teaching those programs going to Carbon County to look and to talk with teachers over there who are doing extended day kindergarten and have been doing now for about 4 or 5 years to look at their programs and what they're doing and visit with them. And our three principals, I think, we're just trying to arrange for them to meet to talk about curriculum with those individuals in Carbon who have been doing it and who have been successful at it. So. It will require a change in how they teach in that extended program. Because we certainly want to focus and target the literacy and math. I sent you a handout on projected enrollment for next year. I appreciate Mr. Grant putting that together. We don't have projections on the elementary, but if it typically goes like it is right now, we anticipate our elementaries will continue to grow. And as you can see for the secondary schools, in most years, we won't be necessarily down, at least by projection. So hopefully we're going to start to see, over the next 3 or 4 years, you know, some growth. But again, these are just projections based on, secondary projections based on current enrollment. Elementary is hard to project because we don't have the birth data. The data to say how many kids are going to be there when they get kindergarten. So it's harder to project, but we are coming up a little bit in the elementary. The last thing is just to mention to you, I did receive a letter from the governor. I think I sent a copy to you thanking us for the time that he spent with us and what he's able to learn from our school district, and so I've given you a copy of that. That's all I have. We do have a closed meeting item after Jared's meeting.
Jared, can we let you?
Just so that you're aware, we're working on a couple pretty big projects at the high school this year. One of them is a resurfacing of the track, and the other one is updating the lighting system in the auditorium. Those are on the capital outlay list. But we're in the process of getting bids, so we'll probably have them next month for you. But. You may see or hear about what's going on during the summer. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Any public comments?
Maybe to let you know, we do have a delegation to Memory High just fight for the Iceland Student Association yesterday.
Really?
They had us into a region, the last one, where we were going to park the Wasatch, Union, Carbon, and Emory.
Judge Memorial.
Oh my goodness.
They testified yesterday. That their argument was with our numbers, as you have seen, we would be below the cutoff 5 of the next 6 years. The committee seen that, they understood it, so we planned the seed to move down to 2A, but probably will not go down to 2A. But the consensus, I think, was amongst the committee who testified is that Emory will be back in with North Santee, Manti, Richfield. Not sure where Richfield joined. Currently, they have Richfield going south between St. George School. Juab High and Delta High. That's
better.
It's kind of interesting, but it did help us out. That way, carbon will go to the north.
It will.
We'll split carbon right in there. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, carbon testifies that they want to still plant it.
Really?
Well,
that's travel.
It's a little bit of a mile, but Utah County get all along. 100, 200 miles.
Well, we have to consider that with the gas and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, good for our group.
Jimmy Jones, Coach Jones. Todd Jeff and Neil Peacock from the Sculpting Club. Mr. Callahan has been explaining this to me last week.
Thank you.
I have a question on, Jared, do we have any more information on the property that we have talked about possibly changing with the settlement?
Where we are with that, Mayor Gordon and I are going to meet with the realtor on Monday.
Okay.
The city has an interest in buying some also to things for their property by the rodeo arena.
Okay.
Which so that's where we are, yeah.
We kind of held off putting the ball field as a high priority on our capital outlay list until we see what's going to happen, because
I'm recommending to the board the expulsion of two students from Canyon View Junior High for safe schools violations. Those expulsions would be for a period of 1 year from the date of their first suspension. And within 45 days, then, we would hold a meeting with the parents to determine conditions for returning to school and whether that could be before the full year is up. And if you had any help, I'll help restate that for a minute.
That's your recommendation?
Within 45 days,
there would be a meeting with parents to outline the conditions for returning to school and whether that return could happen before the year is up.
I will so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye. Can't tell you how good it is to work with a board like this. I see what some of the districts have, and I'm grateful for what we have. So I appreciate what you do.
Well, we appreciate you. It makes our job easy. All of us.
Is there going to be some kind of a primary?